Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
That God would take a foreigner, bring her in, and let her be in the lineage of Jesus is absolutely amazing. And you know what it speaks to us of? God's grace in our lives when we don't deserve it. God's grace in our lives when we feel like we are on the outs and we're not the kind of person that God does things for.
God doesn't just save us, He adopts us. He makes us His own. He makes us royalty by bringing us into His family. And the amazing thing is, it's no matter how shady our background might be, no matter what sin and baggage we bring with us, He makes us new. With the beautiful illustration of how this happened in Ruth's life, here's Robert Furrow with more from Ruth chapter 2.
If you were in debt, one of your kinsmen could come and they could redeem you. They could buy you out of slavery. And certainly there is a way in which that is true with Jesus as well. That's not the picture that we get in the book of Ruth, but there is certainly a way that that is true. That you and I are slaves to this world. We have been slaves to this world. We are slaves to sin. But Jesus has become our Redeemer and He has set us free. He has purchased us and He has set us free. But what a beautiful picture that we have been given an inheritance. There is a place for us. Now we don't know if Naomi returned to the land where that was Elimelech's land. We don't know if someone else was working it. They obviously are staying somewhere, but we're not told any of that. We don't know if the land had gone fallow or not. All we know is that she goes out and so happens to show up in Boaz's field. And as we're going to see, he is one of the ones who can redeem him. It says, "Now behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said to the reapers, 'The Lord be with you.'" Tells us a little bit about him. She had said, "Your God will be my God and my God will be yours." And he serves that God. He says to his reapers, and they answered him, "The Lord be with you." And Boaz said to his servants who was in charge of the reapers, "Whose young woman is this?" He noticed her. He comes up and says, who's this gal here? I don't know if he said that about every gal that walked into his field. I don't think so. I think there was something about her. I think there's hints throughout this account that she was good looking, that he was attracted to her. Who is this young woman? The servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, "It is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab." This is a small town. Bethlehem is a small city. It was a small city in their day. It was a small city when Jesus was born there. And one of the things about small cities, any of you guys come from small towns? They know everything about everybody. And Naomi had been the talk of the town. Naomi is back. Did you hear that Elimelech died? Did you hear that her sons, Milion and Chilion, that they married Moabite women? And did you hear that one of them came back with Naomi and said, "Where you go, I'll go. Your people will become my people. And the Lord curse me if I don't die with you. And your God will be my God." That news had traveled around. So when Boaz saw that this is Ruth, who had come back with Naomi, he knows a little bit about her character. He knows that she is a woman who is faithful. In fact, in chapter 3, Naomi is called a noble woman, which is the exact same Hebrew word that is used of the Proverbs 31 woman. I want to go to Proverbs 31 and just kind of read that a little bit. I find that Naomi fits, and it's been suggested by some that Naomi was the actual woman that it was speaking of. And Proverbs 31 is interesting. I mean, it talks about the Proverbs 31 woman and what she would be like, but I also think it brings a lot of guilt into gals. Because you read this account, in fact, pick it up in verse 10. "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts in her. So he will have no lack of grain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and is willing to work and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is still yet night. No nudging going on here, by the way, when we read this. And provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. And she considers the field and she buys it from the prophets, plants vineyards. She girds herself with strength, the strength of her arms, and perceives that her merchandise is good and her lamp does not go, and it goes on. And I get tired just reading that, just going through it. What will I think as Boaz sees Naomi and has heard of this reputation? He sees that she's someone who has stuck with Naomi. Here's of Ruth, by the way. You guys now know, by the way, I'm making the mistake every other time I say it of the person, right? He hears that Ruth is stuck by Naomi through all of the difficulties and has said, I will be with you and I will be a companion. And I think that makes her all the more attractive. For a woman to be attractive is a good thing. If you're single and you're looking for a woman, for her to be attractive is a good thing. For her to be a good woman and to be a kind woman is a better thing. That's true with men too, isn't it? For a guy to be good looking, bonus. For a guy to be a good guy, for a guy to be kind, that's even better, right? We're looking for someone that has these qualities. And Boaz, I think at this point even, he's thinking as soon as he hears that this is Ruth who came back with Naomi, he's going, oh, and she's good looking too. She's not only one that's faithful and will hang in there, but she's good looking too. And so it says in verse 7, and she said, verse 6, so the servant who was in charge of the reapers answered and said, it is the young Moabite woman who came back with Naomi from the country of Moab. And she said, please, now he's explaining what she said to him when she asked for permission to glean the fields. She said, please let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. This is what she meant in verse 2. Often in verse 2, people think that she goes out going, I'm gonna go find a man. But she said that someone might have favor with me. She uses the word him right after Boaz is introduced. That's not what she means. She simply means that I can find favor with someone that has land that I can glean there. And says, so she came and has continued from morning until now, though she rested a little while in the house. And Boaz said to Ruth, now Boaz kind of wanders over towards Ruth. You will listen, my daughter. You will listen to me, my daughter, will you not? Do not go to glean in another field, nor go from here, but stay close by my young women. He shows her kindness and he shows her interest, right? I mean, he's saying, stay close here. Don't go to anybody else's field. I want you to stay close by. It's as if he's just kind of throwing that statement out there. He's making a statement. Maybe something will come back. He says, let your eyes be on the field which they reap and go after them. Have I not commanded the young men not to touch you? So he's protecting her. And when you are thirsty, go to the vessels and drink from what the young men have drawn. So he's taking care of her. He's protecting her. He's taking care of her. So she fell on her face, not literally, bowed down on the ground and said to him, why have I found favor in your eyes that you should take notice of me since I am a foreigner? And maybe now we get what is the greatest picture in all of the book of Ruth, and that this is really about grace. Racism is not just a phenomena of today, but it's been a phenomena of mankind forever. And that she would think that there would be anybody who would look at her with any kind of interest. Boaz didn't do all of these things for every gal that came to reap in his field. She knew that. And so when she sees that interest, she wonders why. I'm a foreigner. I'm a Moabite. And when you think of her being the great-grandmother of David, who sits on the throne of the Messiah will sit on the throne forever, that God would take a foreigner bring her in and let her be in the lineage of Jesus is absolutely amazing. And you know what it speaks to us of? God's grace in our lives when we don't deserve it. God's grace in our lives when we feel like we are on the outs and we're not the kind of person that God does things for. The truth is, God does things for anyone that comes to Him. God's grace is not because we've deserved that grace, but because He has chosen to give us that grace. And so she's very direct. Why are you doing these things for me? I'm a foreigner. And Boaz answered and said to her, "It has been fully reported to me all that you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, and how you have left your father and your mother and the land of your birth, and have come to a people whom you did not know before. The Lord repay your work, and full reward be given to you by the Lord." He's not only a guy that says, "Blessed be the Lord," when he shows up. Gals, any guy can act like a Christian for a while. I like to say anybody can pull off anything for 6 months. I don't know about any longer than that, but anybody can pull off anything for 6 months. And a lot of guys, when they're interested in a gal, will be like, "Oh, praise God, you know, I just love the Lord." But all of a sudden you find something deeper in here, that his attraction to her is not just her looks, but the faithfulness that she has, and that he's asking God to be able to repay her fully for what she has done. He says, the full verse there from verse 12, "The Lord repay your work, and fully reward be given by the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings you have come for refuge." And what a beautiful picture that is, that Ruth has come to Israel and is now under the wings of his refuge. Then she said, "Let me find favor in your sight, my Lord." It's always good when a gal calls her husband Lord, by the way. Sarah, right, called Abraham Lord. Amen, I like it. For you have comforted me and have spoken kindly to your maidservants, though I am not like one of your maidservants. Notice there she says you've spoken kindly. And as this romance is just budding at this place, I just want to say, and this goes both ways, right? This goes for guys and gals. You want someone nice, right? Good looking and mean is not an option. Good looking and angry, not an option. You want nice. You want kind. It was on my list when I started to get over the grieving with Lisa. I began to consider if I should date and how I was going to date. And you think about it, it'd be really difficult to date anybody from the church here, because if we broke up, then you might, you know, cause a church split. Who knew, you know? So it was really precarious water for me. And I began to kind of to look for someone who was, and my top line was kind. That was what I wanted the most. I wanted a gal who was really, really nice. Me and Kathy started dating. She's here tonight. Me and Kathy started dating. And I remember asking her after a couple of weeks, "Are you really this nice?" You know, my thing, anybody could put on anything for 6 months. Are you really this nice? Are you really this kind? I'll tell you, she is, by the way. She is that nice after being married almost 5 years. April will be 5 years that we'll be married. But she really is super nice. Now, she had a list as well. And I don't know that I met all those criteria. She shared with me the list that she had. And I don't know all of those criterias. I heard a pastor say one time that he was talking to a young man and he said, "Well, I want the woman that I marry to be," and then he made a list. It wasn't this list, but it would be like jump over buildings in a single bound, look like a model, cook like a chef, you know, all of these things. And the pastor finally listened to his whole list and said, "Assuming that there's a woman out there like that, assuming, why would she want you?" That's a good response, isn't it? We make our lists, but really we have to prioritize. What are the most important things? What are the most important things that you need in a spouse? You need someone who is as in love with God as you are. Not just an oxen, but an oxen that is the same, right? Because you put a weak oxen with a strong oxen, it doesn't work. That's unequally yoked. But someone who loves the Lord like you love the Lord, someone who is kind. I think, you know, love is long-suffering and love is kind. And so if someone really loves someone, they're long-suffering with that person and are kind. It goes on to say, doesn't behave rudely, doesn't seek its own. There's so many strong things that are there. And I think we're seeing it here with both of them. And she references his kindness towards her. Now, verse 14. Now Boaz said to her at mealtime, come here and eat the bread and dip your piece of bread in the vinegar. Again, I'm going to guess that Boaz doesn't do this with all of the girls, right? He's interested and he's wanting to get close to her. So he's like, come here, dip your bread in all of these different dips that are up here. See how good they are. And he passed parched grain to her, and she ate and was satisfied and kept some back. We find out later on that she kept this back for Naomi, that she's still thinking of Naomi, even as she's here, in this amazement of this landowner who is suddenly showing her this attention. And when she rose up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, and this here I think is the most romantic part. He commands the young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves and do not reproach her. The sheaves were the wheat that had been binded together. And they chased away the people who were gleaning the field, the poor who would come to glean the field, because when they would get too close to it, they would be able to get a lot of the grain, maybe even take it off the sheaves. And so he said, when she wanders in, don't chase her away. Don't rebuke her. Just let her wander in. And let grain fall from the bundles. Not only let her go among the sheaves, but drop some grain on the ground purposely for her. Leave it that she may glean, and do not rebuke her. So she gleaned in the field until evening and beat out what she had gleaned, and it was about an ephah of barley. I don't know what an ephah is, but it's got to be a lot. It's got to be a lot more than she thought. She was like walking along and I said, oh, look at that. Look at this. And look at that, maybe even like a trail of grain that had been left behind into where the sheaves were, where there was more of it. Until she had a lot more than the poor get when they go to glean a field. And she took it up and she went into the city, and her mother-in-law saw what she had gleaned, and she brought out and gave to her what she had kept back after she had been satisfied. And her mother-in-law said to her, where have you gleaned today? It had to be a lot of wheat because she's impressed with it. Where have you gleaned today? Go there tomorrow too. And where did you work? Blessed be the one who took notice of you. So she told her mother-in-law to whom she had worked and said, the man's name who I worked today was Boaz. And Naomi said to her daughter-in-law, blessed be the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. Do you remember what Naomi said in chapter 1? Naomi had said a few statements about God. She had said, the hand of the Lord is against me. You ever feel like that? And tragedy comes your way? Now, maybe God, you know, the suffering that she had gone through, there's no way to know, would Elimelech have died had they stayed in Bethlehem? But they didn't. They left and they went to Moab. And she's got reason. Her sons married Moabite women. There's reasons for her to believe that God would be against her. And then when they said, pleasant, Naomi, she said, I am no longer Naomi, but I am now Mara, which is bitter. She had become bitter towards God. I love chapter 2. Not only because it's this romantic, you know, kind of interlude between these two, but because Naomi comes back to God and now is no longer saying, God is against me. His hand is against me. I am bitter. But when she hears that it's Boaz, and why? Because Boaz is the kinsman redeemer for them, and she knows that, and she sees God's hand in it, that this isn't just a coincidence. In fact, I wonder if there ever are really any coincidences. I think there are Godwinces, a made-up word of mine, where God brings us in his providence to the right place and the right time to do what God's going to do. But I love the change in the tone of Naomi. From chapter 1 to chapter 2, blessed be the name of the Lord who has not forsaken his kindness to the living and the dead. She understands the kinsman idea, and that the faithfulness of keeping the land and the family is not only a faithfulness to the living, the wife who was left behind, but to the man who has died, that the land would be kept in that family. God is faithful to the living and the dead. And Naomi said to her, "This man is a relative of ours, one of our close relatives." Ruth the Moabitess said, "He also said to me, 'You should stay close by my young men until you have finished all my harvest.'" And Naomi said to Ruth, her daughter-in-law, "It is good, my daughter, that you go out with his young women and that people do not meet you in any other field." She's beginning to understand. In fact, we'll see it in the beginning of the next chapter. So she stayed close to the young women of Boaz to glean until the end of the barley harvest and the wheat harvest, and she dwelt with her mother-in-law. What a picture. I want you to remember that Naomi didn't have a bad day. Naomi didn't have a bad month. She didn't have a bad year. Here we come to the end of a year now. Are there any years in your life that when it comes around, you say good riddance to that year? I got a few years that are like that. You come to it and you say, good riddance, hope the next year is better. She had a bad decade. It had been a bad decade for her. And now God is intervening. And God is providing for her and for Ruth and Boaz. And there's a great picture, and you wonder, you think, what is Naomi going to get out of this? Wait till chapter 4. It's awesome. But God has not forgotten her. And you may have had a bad decade. We're not only coming to the end of a year, right? We're coming to the end of a decade. But you may be ready to say, goodbye, decade. Oh, the next one's got to be better than what this decade is. But know that no matter how long it's been, God is still at work. God will bring about the things in your life in his time. Wait on the Lord, and he will renew your strength. Trust in him. Don't run before him. I love the scripture that says, don't be like the horse that runs before God, and don't be like the donkey that stands, you know, behind God. Just get in stride with him. Just trust in him. Know that he has a plan, he has a purpose, and that he loves you. 1 Peter 5:7, casting all your care on him because he cares for you. God cares for you. Even if you're in Israel and you're a Moabitess, God cares for you. Cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Stand with you, would you? And let's pray together. Father, thank you again for this chapter. What a powerful picture of a man and a woman who begin to take notice of one another, and how you have given us that gift. I pray for those who are single here today and who want to be married. I pray, Lord, that you would calm their hearts, that they would trust in you, that you would do a work in them, bringing them that person into their lives, that they would be kind, and that they would be equally yoked, and it would be a perfect picture. We thank you for all that you've done and the great grace that you've shown to this Moabitess, and remembering the great grace that you have shown to us. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.
We hope you've been blessed and encouraged here at Practical Christian Living Radio to live out God's Word and to love like Jesus as you do. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. For our local radio listeners, Calvary Tucson is open and holding physical services while being mindful and considerate of social distancing guidelines. We also have new service times. Our East Campus now meets Saturday evenings at 6 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9:45 a.m. Our West Campus meets Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service times will remain the same: Wednesday, 6 p.m. at East Campus, 7:15 p.m. at our West Campus. If you have concerns about your health or you're in a high-risk category, please attend our online campus. You can watch at live.calvarytucson.com and also on our Facebook page and YouTube channel. Our online campus is available during East Campus service times. For a complete list of social distancing policies and updates on when other ministries within our church will reopen, please visit calvarytucson.com. If Practical Christian Living Radio has blessed you and you would like to donate and help support this ministry, please visit pclaz.org. That's pclaz.org, where you can make a secure one-time donation or sign on to become a monthly partner on a reoccurring basis. Have you accepted Jesus into your life, or do you have questions about salvation? Please email us at saved@calvarytucson.com. And don't forget to follow us on social media, Instagram at Calvary Tucson or Facebook at Calvary Chapel Tucson. And we want to remind our local listeners that you can watch Practical Christian Living Sunday mornings at 8:30 on KGUN 9. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.